This is a paid advertisement from BetterHelp Therapy Online.
It's back to school season, and while I am more than happy not to be spending my days studying, I do miss learning new things and feeling like you're growing so much.
Yeah, I feel like as adults, we just never make the time to learn something new. Like, what was the last thing that you think you learned?
Probably Mai Tai, but that was months and months ago now. So I do want to reconnect with that sense of curiosity that I had as a child.
Yeah. And that's where therapy can help. It offers you a chance to have your back to school era no matter your age. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
Because it's entirely online, it's convenient, flexible and suited to your schedule, unlike school or college.
And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a therapist. And if you want, you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
With over 5,000 therapists available, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise.
Rediscover your curiosity with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/HMD today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/HMD. Go loud.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I was like, I can't get chemo when I'm pregnant. Like, and then I wasn't sure either if they could do surgery when I was pregnant either. I remember actually saying it to my doctor in Hollistry. I was like, when you were doing my section, I was like, could you take my ovaries and fallopian tubes at the same time?
And yeah, get it like, all done in the one.
She was like, absolutely not.
She was wide awake.
I just kept thinking, is the baby going to be okay?
Yeah.
You know, like I kept thinking, am I going to die and I'm not going to get to meet the baby? And
welcome to Home I Drink with Charlene and Ellie. Our podcast is like a group chat between your best friends, girls bathroom and night out, where you spill all the gossip and relationship dilemmas and life. If you're a return listener, welcome back. And if you're a new listener, welcome. We're waving the cameras. Home I Drink is out for you every Wednesday at 12 p.m. We also bring you bonus episodes every Monday at 12. You can listen to more of us now on the Girl Out app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also watch us now on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
12 o'clock on Thursdays, you can watch the full podcast episode on YouTube as well.
Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. That's perfect.
3 days a week.
Lucky, lucky.
Basically half the week. Sent to us. This October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and on this episode we heard a very powerful story from Shauna Rice, who was diagnosed with breast cancer while she was 26 weeks pregnant. It's just such a powerful story, and it just goes to show, I think, everyone how important it is to get the checks done, to listen to your body, all of the above, especially when it comes to this, because it's 1 in 7 women will be diagnosed in Ireland with breast cancer.
It's scary, isn't it?
7. Like, that is such a huge figure. And while we have his here, I know most people listening are women, and men can actually be diagnosed with breast cancer too.
Never knew that.
Yeah. 3,400 women and approximately 30 men are diagnosed with breast cancer each year in Ireland.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's men too. Signs of breast cancer can include a lump or thickening in or near the breast or in the underarm area, a change in the size or shape of the breast, a dimple or puckering in the skin of the breast, a nipple turned inward into the breast, fluid other than breast milk from the nipple, especially if it's bloody, scaly red or swollen skin on the breast, nipple or areola, dimples in the breast that look like skin of an orange. It's called pooed orange.
Ooh.
So any of them
are signs to kind of
go to a doctor, get checked. Don't ignore things.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times we're, you know, people are, we're busy or we don't want to get things checked, but it's important to
you just always think, I'll be grand.
It'll be grand. Yeah.
Be grand.
Yeah.
I think something like this now you need to take seriously.
Yeah. So those are the symptoms to look out for. Like we said, go to a doctor. Today's episode is just going to be the interview. We're not going to have any Seeks and Assaults, that'll be all in a bonus episode, because this is such an important topic, especially it being October, especially it being Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It's something we need to talk about and bring awareness to, and especially this month to keep talking about.
Yes, so we will chat to you next week.
So today on Home I Drink, we have Shauna Rice. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in.
How are you?
Oh, good.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
We need to give a backstory of how we know each other. Shauna was my dance teacher.
That's so cute.
I literally came in today. I think I put my shoulder. Do you know Tate McRae's new song and her dance?
Did you do the dance?
Well, I tried and I think I put my shoulder.
Please,
oh my God.
Did you post it?
No, I'm not. I wasn't filming it. I was just dancing.
Oh, I thought you were actually trying to do it.
I was so bad at dancing.
No.
No, I could sing. That was about it.
No, girl.
I know, you weren't bad. Don't be saying
in
that.
The back row. You tried. That's all that matters.
I just couldn't memorise.
It's a lot to learn. You're only a babe. You know?
Yeah, true.
I mean, you're great at singing. What was the song that you sang?
Young Hearts Run Free. And I wore the little wig.
Yeah.
I think it was a pink wig.
That was out in Dundrum, wasn't it? Was that show? Did you do the competition with us as well?
Competition. Down in
Killarney. Treboggan. No.
Killarney, I think it was.
Killarney, was it?
Yeah.
What yeah. dance was it? Like, was it a dance school? Like?
Yeah, dance in Ireland. Yeah. In Lucan and Rathkill. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were in Lucan, weren't you?
Lucan, yeah.
That's mad.
Yeah. Oh. We really wanted to have you on because you've been very open in sharing your breast cancer journey. So can you give us a bit of background of how you got diagnosed and how that kind of all started?
Yeah, so I was diagnosed in February, 13th February. I was 29 weeks pregnant. I was diagnosed with DCIS, ductal carcinoma in situ. So it's basically like in the milk duct and it hadn't spread out of the milk duct, basically. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's like invasive DCIS, but mine wasn't, thankfully. I found out at like my breast check in the January that something had shown up on my previous MRI. And like that, they sent me straight away for a biopsy and a mammogram. And I swear to God, I don't know if you've ever gotten a mammogram, but...
No, my mom told me about it though.
I don't even know what it is. Sorry. What
it's like a machine. Kind of goes like that.
Okay.
And like you do... Well, it actually kind of goes in all different directions. And like you place your breasts in it, basically. And it clamps down on your breasts. But like being pregnant, like the girl kept saying to me, push your stomach back.
Like, I can't.
I can't.
Yeah, it's not made for
No, literally not.
People.
And Carl was outside. They wouldn't let him in. And I was like, is there any chance he can come in? I feel like I'm going to faint. Like I kept having to sit down. And they'd done two of the breasts. And my right one was grand, but my left one, they'd done it like about three times, like in different, like, so it went in this way, then it would go in sideways and then it'd go in another way. And it was awful.
And are you standing the whole time in the machine? Yeah.
Yeah, standing. So that's why I just kept thinking I was going to faint. I was like, I'm getting weak. I need to sit down. And I was prolonging it for them. I was like, look, if you just let Carl in, I was like, I'll be fine.
Just want someone there.
Just let me hold his hand.
Yeah.
But anyway, they couldn't. And then that was grand. She went out and made sure that they got all the images they needed. Then brought me in to do a biopsy. And biopsies are actually grand. I got a biopsy before, so I wasn't really too worried about that. Mm-hmm. But I was just worried about fainting. So I was saying to them again. And Carl had come in on my last biopsy as well. So I was like, can he come in on this one? Because he was in on the last one and so on. And she was like, no, I'm sorry. And then a girl sat beside me and she was like, I'll hold your hand. And I was like, oh, thanks. She literally sat there the whole time, scrolling through her phone, showing me pictures of our dogs. She's like, look at my dog.
Good.
Look at my dog. Yeah. No. She was so helpful. Look at this photo. And
taking your mind off it a little bit.
Yeah. And then it was about 10 days after that then that I went back in and they confirmed then that was DCIS.
And did you have any symptoms yourself of that, or was it just from the mammogram that you wouldn't know?
No, it was just from the previous MRI that I had gotten.
Or didn't feel unwell or anything? Or
no, I didn't feel any lumps. Wasn't getting any pains. You know, like when you get your period, you get pains in your boobs. Like I'd get them the odd time, but I wouldn't get them every time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no, I didn't feel any pain. Because I remember my mom, she had breast cancer as well, and she had a pain in her boob. Mm-hmm. I don't think she had a lump. And I think it was from a pain in her boob that she went to the doctor and was like, I have a pain. And so on, and she got tested then as well. But no itchiness or anything like
that. None of what they say to look out for.
No.
Wow. Nothing. And then the biopsy, how do they do that if you're like awake?
They numb it. You literally cannot feel a thing.
Wow.
So the needle, I don't know how big the needle is, but before they done it, they were like, I'm going to let you listen to this like clicking sound just so you know what it is. And it's like they put the needle in, then they click it. It's basically taking the biopsy. But like it's loud, and like when it goes off, you're kind of like jump a little bit.
Yeah.
And so they were like to me, try not to move, or if you hear or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, but yeah.
So they put the needle into where the cancer would be.
Like, it was literally they put it here,
right there,
like right at the side. Yeah, that's where they put it on me. Like I'm sure a lot of people are different. Like if it's over this side, they probably put it in that side or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, they put it in the side of my boob.
And what stage were you at when they found it?
What stage was the cancer? Stage zero.
Okay.
Yeah. So there was like diagrams that they showed us, and it was like a normal milk duct.
Yeah.
And then like stages of the DCIS. And mine was the second last picture, which is it hadn't spread out of the duct. On the last picture, then it's the invasion of it spreading out of the duct then. And I don't know what stage that would be.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'd be stage four, because I was obviously stage zero when I was on the second last photo.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm. And what is that? What's it like to get news like that? You have cancer. Like, what is it like to hear that? How does it feel?
Yeah. Is it like a phone call? Is it a sit down?
No, it's a sit down. So like my consultant brought me in, and Carl and my auntie Nita were with me, And they told me, and obviously I was hysterical, roaring, mm-hmm. crying. But even when I went to my breast check and she told me that there was something on my previous MRI, I was crying because I was like, this can't be happening. What are they going to do? Like, yeah. I'm pregnant. Is it gone too far? Mm-hmm. Because like, I just wasn't sure. Like, because I was like, I can't get treatment when I'm pregnant. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was like, I can't get chemo when I'm pregnant. Like, and then I wasn't sure either if they could do surgery when I was pregnant either.
Yeah.
But when I got the news then that confirmed that was DCIS, I was distraught. God. Yeah.
And what's the first thing you think, you kind of think of in that moment? Like, are you just like, what's next? Like, what's the plan?
Well, I didn't even think of any of that. I just kept thinking, is the baby going to be okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, I kept thinking, am I going to die and I'm not going to get to meet the baby? And, you know, I know I'm going to say stupid things, but like, they're really important things. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, stupid things that come to your mind like that, but it's not really stupid.
Yeah.
I remember even sitting in the family room then after they told us, and my auntie Anita was sitting there and she was like, right, okay, I need to ring Kim and Jenny, my sisters.
Of course, yeah.
Kim was away and Jenny was about to leave to go to dancing. And because it was a Tuesday evening, mm-hmm. Tuesday afternoon, my appointment was like 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And we went in and the girl behind reception was like, oh, look, your consultant is delayed in theatre. So it's going to be a while. Go get some lunch.
Yeah.
And come back then about half one. And that morning, we went out to drive the car. We had a flat wheel.
Oh.
You know, to go into the hospital for my results. I was like, this actually can't be happening. No. So my dad had to drop us. And then during that time, then we were waiting for the consultant. Carl went home to get the wheel and all fixed. Like, so we had loads of time. And then we didn't end up getting called until about 4 o'clock. Had been there literally all day. Yeah. And my auntie was like to me, she was like, I knew that when they were keeping us there, she was like, I knew that was going to be
really
bad news.
It meant something.
Yeah.
Like, that
Yeah. Because if it hadn't have been, they would have been like, why don't you come back tomorrow or come back next week?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
But they sent us into there. And then he was like, look, we've two options. We can do a mastectomy when you're 32 weeks pregnant,
mm-hmm.
a single mastectomy, or we can wait, bring on the labor. Do a section at 36 weeks and then your double mastectomy. And I obviously opted for the first one.
And what made you lean more towards that one? Like, I'd say your head is just thinking all the options.
Yeah, and to be honest, I didn't really get a choice in the end because the next day when I left, like, they rang me and they were like, you're booked in for a single mastectomy on such and such date.
Okay. They kind of told you that was what was best.
Yeah, and I think that was the best option because getting a section and then having a mastectomy at the same time. Well, not at the same time, but like a few weeks later.
So and they're huge surgeries.
Yeah. So we were in the family room then and poor Carl, like, I think he was crying more than I was crying. Like, you know, like, we were just sitting there hugging each other and my auntie was like, I need to ring the girls. And she obviously rang the lads first to make sure that the girls were sitting down or if they weren't doing that with the kids or anything. Because obviously we didn't want to let my niece know, like, you know.
No.
And I remember hearing Jenny sat around crying on the phone. She was like, oh, is she okay? Like, is Shauna okay? Yeah. Like, you know. But it was awful.
I know. Especially with your mom as well having passed.
I think that was the scariest thing.
Yeah.
She passed from breast cancer and you're just like, here I am now. They were the words that I dreaded the most. Do you know what I mean? Like, hearing the words, you have breast cancer, is just crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And especially being pregnant.
Yeah. So then you got the mastectomy done. So the mastectomy is when they take all the tissue away, isn't it, from your breast?
Yeah.
And you could only have paracetamol afterwards.
Yeah. So like after that, I think it was, so that was the 13th of February. And then I had the mastectomy then the 6th of March. And they take the full breast, the nipple and all. And then he done a reconstruction as well. I was lucky to get that. Some people have to stay flat as well.
Yeah.
Because some people need radiation. Whereas this stage, we didn't think that I needed chemo or anything like that.
Okay.
And we, I had the mastectomy then the 6th of March. And then the results from that then came back and he took lymph nodes as well. He took like two or three lymph nodes and it wasn't in the lymph nodes, but it had spread out of the duct a little bit, tiny little pieces had spread out of the duct. But when I went in to get them results, he was like, yeah, you don't need chemo. And it did spread out a little bit, but you definitely don't need chemo. And I was like, okay, but the oncologist wants to see it. And I was like, why does the oncologist want to see me if I don't need chemo?
Yeah, no,
you
know,
like, yeah. And he was like, they just want to explain to you why you don't need chemo. And then when I seen the oncologist, she basically told me she can't give me a writer wrong answer, whether it's get chemo or not. It would have been preventative chemo. Like, it wasn't really, like, there was nothing left in my body, but like, it was just for prevention.
Yeah. So you had to make that choice, really, to if you wanted to get it or not. Like,
I had to make a choice. And I think if you were probably put in the same position, you would probably go for it as well. Like, you know, it's just to prevent it reoccurring.
Of course.
Down the line, you know. But yeah, paracetamol as well. They gave me a strong painkiller when I was in the hospital the day of the surgery after. And I can't remember what it's called, but I remember that evening then at about 7 o'clock, my auntie was getting ready to go home and I just started puking, like literally like puking. And Anita was like, right, no, I'm staying here tonight. With you. Have you got to wear pajamas? I was like, yeah. And she was like, right, I'll stay here. We it's a night. And then I just stuck to the paracetamol after that because I was like, I just don't want to be feeling sick. I can't even remember what that tablet was called, but I wouldn't have been able to take it for too long.
No, it'd probably be like a real big kind of strong one.
Yeah.
And what was that like pain like to deal with paracetamol? Is that enough to even
cover
it? Not at all.
No, not at all. No. I think when I was in hospital, it was grand because they were timing it. And they were giving it to me every like 6 hours or something. Yeah. And it was a drip as well.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that is stronger.
Into
I think
the blood a bit quicker, is it? Yeah.
And then when I went home, then I was obviously with the painkillers on. I think I was taking them every 4 hours. I couldn't go 6 hours. There was no way. Like, I was literally counting down the hours when I was due my next painkiller.
And when you're pregnant and going under surgery, like, was that a concern for you as well?
Yeah.
Of like, because that's, is it like, are you meant to get surgery pregnant?
Well, I remember
safe to get, like,
I remember talking to my doctor in Holly Street and she was saying that people have gotten, I can't remember what it's called, but it was a lot, I don't mean more serious, but like, it's a lot more dangerous for the baby.
Yeah.
Was it like kidney? No, not kidney. Something burst.
Oh, appendix.
Appendix, there you go.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, like people, like women have gotten their appendix out now when they're pregnant.
It's right beside your room as well.
Yeah, so she was like that, that's... Yeah. A lot more serious, kind of, like, do you know what I mean? A lot more scary, like something could go wrong with the baby or whatever. Yeah. But now, like, I remember the anesthesia saying to me, when you go under anesthetic, your baby will go asleep as well.
Oh,
do you know what I mean?
I was going to ask you, like, was that one of your biggest fears, was going under the anesthetic and then...
Yeah, it was with the baby. I think I just kept saying, what if, like, it goes against the baby or like something happens.
Yeah.
And I remember when it was confirmed that I was getting the surgery, I was like, right, we need to speak to the consultant because I can't go underneath it. Because when you're pregnant and you lie down, like, you can't breathe because the baby's literally like lying and everything.
Oh, wow.
Not that you can't breathe, but like, I always felt...
It's like a weight on you. Like,
you shouldn't be on your back. Should you? Are you meant to be like on your side?
Yeah, on your side. So I was like, you need to get a wedge underneath the side. Underneath my side, so I'm on a little tilt, like, and when I was going in for to be put under anesthetic, I remember saying it to the woman, I was like, I'm not on a tilt, make sure I'm on a tilt. But they tilted me there then, you know, just to put your mind at ease. But it was really scary going underneath the anesthetic with the baby.
And then when you woke up, like, did you know straight away that everything had went okay, like everything was was fine?
When I woke up, my auntie and Kim were standing at the end of the bed, and like that, I was telling you earlier on, I looked down and there was a boob there and I was like, oh my God, did they actually take it? Like, am I after, like, going through anaesthetic for nothing? Like, you know? But like that, he'd done the reconstruction and he expanded it out to kind of suit this, the right side as well. Yeah. Although, like, they weren't really, they're still not the same size, but like, completely different shapes. Like, I've a big scar gone across this one, no nipple.
Yeah.
Yeah, knocks your confidence.
I know, it's so much so hard. And you have the gene as well, is it BRCA
the BRCA 2 gene.
When did you find out that you had that?
So my mum was, she was tested for that before she passed away. And I got tested in, I think it was 2017. I got tested and found out that I had it.
So that makes you more prone to getting any kind of cancer?
Breast cancer and ovarian cancer.
And ovarian, okay.
Yeah. And can anyone just get tested for that? Or like, is it only if somebody...
In your family.
If someone in your family has that.
Yeah.
So like, if one of your parents or one of your aunties or anything have the BRCA2 gene or BRCA1, there's BRCA1 as well, that has a higher percentage of getting breast cancer or ovarian cancer. So if any of your relatives have that gene, then you can go get tested as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they're kind of like, you can then do things to prevent it, like getting your...
Yeah, so you can get your double mastectomy. You can get a... Is it called an oophorectomy? Your ovaries? Oophorectomy.
A hysterectomy.
No. Hysterectomy is your womb.
Oh, you're removed. Yeah.
So it's in, yeah. I think it's a new oophorectomy. Your ovaries removed and fallopian tubes as well. Yeah.
They're also due to surgeries as well.
Yeah.
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 God. And you want to get your ovaries removed at some point, don't you?
For yeah. Yeah, I will eventually have my ovaries removed. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that like a preventative thing or what made you decide to do that?
That's a preventative. Is it? Yeah. That's when you have the BRCA2 gene or BRCA1, you'd have a double mastectomy and your ovaries and fallopian tubes removed. I remember actually saying it to my doctor in Holly Street. I was like, when you were doing my section, I was like, could you take my ovaries and fallopian tubes at the same time?
And she was just get it all done in the one.
She was like, absolutely not. She
too
was
wide
like,
away.
Yeah, she was like, I could probably take your fallopian tubes, but definitely not your ovaries. It's too, what word did she use? Like, she's like, you'd bleed a lot. Like, it'd be too much.
If everything was...
Like, something went wrong. And I was just like, okay. It was actually my sister Kim that put him to me head to ask her.
Two in one, girl. Get it all done.
But even when I was in hospital getting my... When I was in hospital getting my mastectomy, my sister Jenny, she was actually in hospital in labour.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah, so I was in on the 6th of March. I think she was due the baby on the 6th of March. And she went in on the 6th of March and the nurse in there, we both went to Holly Street, so they kind of knew of my diagnosis as well. And the nurse said to Jenny, look, the midwife, whoever she was, I know you don't want to have this baby today while your sister's in there getting her mastectomy. And Jenny was like, no, absolutely not. And I remember saying to Jenny then after, I was like, I kept thinking that I'd be under anaesthetic and I'd die. And then you'd bring a life into the world. Do you get me? Like,
it'd be like a reincarnation. Yeah, like, oh my God.
You know, like, just kept going through my head. And Jenny goes, Shauna, that's exactly what went through my head. And then she had Macklin then on the next day.
He waited.
Yeah.
And how was your C-section? How was all that process? And
It was grand. Yeah, it was like I had gone through a C-section on Myla anyway. Okay. So I kind of expected it. Like, it was grand. It was 7 weeks after the mastectomy, so I was kind of not over it, but the recovery of it was kind of finished, if you get me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was a planned section, wasn't it? So you knew. Yeah. At that point, I'd say you're just like, I just want to have this baby.
Yeah. I just wanted to have her on the outside. Here, so I knew she was safe.
Yeah.
And and then just get through then the section and then go on to chemo.
Yeah.
This is a paid advertisement from BetterHelp Therapy Online. It's back to school season, and while I am more than happy not to be spending my days studying, I do miss learning new things and feeling like you're growing so much.
Yeah, I feel like as adults, we just never make the time to learn something new. Like, what was the last thing that you think you learned?
Probably Mai Tai, but that was months and months ago now. So I do want to reconnect with that sense of curiosity that I had as a child.
Yeah. And that's where therapy can help. It offers you a chance to have your back to school era no matter your age. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
Because it's entirely online, it's convenient, flexible and suited to your schedule, unlike school or college.
And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a therapist. And if you want, you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
With over 5,000 therapists available, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise.
Rediscover your curiosity with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/HMD today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/HMD. How has it affected you? You were saying about your confidence of like your mastectomy. How does that affect your confidence going through chemo and surgery and things?
Yeah, like, absolutely. Like, knocks you. Mm. Absolutely knocks you, yeah. Like, I'll probably get upset now, but... Yeah, I just, like, my hair was, like my little confidence boost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I was going on a night out and my hair was done and my makeup wasn't, I wouldn't care.
Really?
Like, you know, like,
it's
it was
your
just...
thing.
Yeah. 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 And my hair was quite thin as well. So when I had, I was constantly wore extensions. So once, my hair was done, I was grand. Mm. Not a bother. And then... I think being pregnant and then having the mastectomy and still having a bump and like this being all out of shape, like it's like a square. Well, it was like a square, but they put more fluid in the top of it. But it's just like you can't wear certain things. And
I feel like that would not mess with anyone, but I feel like that would affect anyone. The fact of being pregnant, having your mastectomy, like your body going from what you've always known as or like the way it used to be to change in so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would affect
so rapidly as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then... Like then even having the baby and then still having your baby pouch and then like looking like that on this side, like it's just...
Yeah.
It's horrible.
And what point did you lose your hair? Was it after chemo finished?
So the chemo started 3 weeks after I had the baby. And I actually didn't lose my hair for about 4 weeks. Like the hair on my head.
Yeah.
Didn't start losing it for about 3-4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And Carl's a barber. So the minute it started falling out, I was like, Carl,
rid it.
Well, he used to be a barber.
Yeah.
I was like, go on, get your barber bag and just shave it. I was like, don't make a big deal of it. Just shave it. Like, you know. And then my eyebrows and lashes, they only fell out 2 weeks ago. Yeah. And I was finished chemo. I finished chemo like on the 6th of August.
Yeah.
And apparently your eyebrows and lashes are the last to go. My eyelashes used to be real long. I didn't care about, well, I did care about my eyebrows, but like my eyelashes were like the main reason I was so upset. Like, you know, like I was like, oh, I look even more sick now and I'm not even going through anything, like as in going through chemo anymore.
And
know?
Like, have you, like, is it normal for them to fall out after the chemo's done with? Or?
Yeah, apparently so. Apparently they're the last to go.
And do
they
just grow back then? Do they grow
They're
back
already tomorrow? Growing back.
Yeah.
There's loads there already.
Yeah, your eyelashes are amazing.
I actually put mascara on this morning.
Yeah.
And it looked so stupid. I was like, oh my God, I need to take this off. Oh my God. I literally looked like I just had black eyeliner here. I was like, take that off.
Well, I feel like face hair grows so quick, doesn't it?
Yeah, like, it does. I've been using rosemary oil as well. Yeah, so I feel like that's really good.
Yeah.
But I think after chemo, during chemo, I was so like focused on just getting to the next week to get the next chemo done and over with. And we were so focused on getting Milo out. It was summer. And we didn't really have a great summer. But like as in like, you know, just getting her out to do activities, bringing her to the balls, bringing her to the park, getting stuff done. And I was so focused on keeping her busy, getting to the next chemo session, getting it over and done with, that I didn't have time to think about how I was actually feeling.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, whereas when I finished chemo, it was kind of everything just kind of like slowly, not even came on top of me, but everything kind of slowly stopped. As in like, not many people were texting to see how you're doing, how's the chemo, how are you feeling, blah, 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 you know. And then everything just like hit me like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
I was just like, this is actually, I remember speaking to Carly Mahady and she was like, Shauna, it's going to hit you after.
I always see her talking about that. Yeah. It's after the fact that you're like, whoa, after what the happened?
Yeah. What have I just gone through? Yeah. Like that actually really happened. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I think it was like a week or so after I stopped chemo, I just got so sick. My eyes were swelling, like everything. It was like all the symptoms hit me at once, you know, like symptoms of chemo.
Yeah.
Like I had little bits of tingling in my fingers, like only a little tiny bit, not much. But like, it was like I had a head cold and I was putting it down to hay fever, or like it was either hay fever and I was putting it down to a head cold. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I just felt so sick the past, like I was so down, like nonstop crying.
It must be hard as well when like that, when people stop checking in because they assume that, oh, chemo's over,
everything's great,
but you're actually still in treatment now. You're getting an injection. Is it every week?
A HER2 injection every 3 weeks. Herceptin.
What does that do, the injection? Like, what?
So my breast cancer was HER2 positive. It's basically like a protein that promotes the growth of cancer cells.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to continue with them HER2 injections now until I think it's May or June next year. I can't remember when I started chemo. I think it was May. Yeah, it must have been May because it was 3 weeks after the baby was born. So I'll continue them now until May next year. I don't know why they have to do them for a year, but like when I was getting the chemo, it used to be through a drip with chemo at the same time, if you get me.
Okay.
But because I don't need chemo anymore, they just bring you in to give you an injection. And it's so sore. I actually got it done yesterday. Last time when I got it done, it was like, it was sore last time as well, but it wasn't as sore. And then this time, it was like she just took her time injecting it in, and it was just...
Is it in your arm?
No, top of your leg here.
Top of your leg.
Yeah, well, last time and that leg yesterday. Yeah.
No.
You just said...
For something like that, I'd want to be like, quick, go.
Yeah, I know. And then I don't know if she does it fast that it might get sore. I don't know, because I didn't want to ask her to go a bit faster. I was like, don't go fast. Yeah. You know?
Oh, my God.
But,
and is that something that you'd want to... like tell other people who know someone going through cancer of like to be there for them even after the chemo ends, and to give them just as much
as
love, because that's especially when you need, because when you're in that moment of getting something done or going through something, like you're so focused on that like it's great having people there, but clearly after the fact you need them more.
Absolutely. Like I even remember when I had the baby, like I remember when I had Mila and I was like, right, we need to stop everybody visiting us, cut off visitors for a week or whatever. Mm-hmm. But when I had Malin, I was kind of the same with that, and it was the same when I was going through chemo and all. It was like I wanted people there, but then I was just like, oh, there's too many people around. You know, it's more so tell people to text or ring if they feel like you need them, or like, don't just show up at someone's door.
No.
Definitely just don't.
No, don't just show.
You can't do that when someone's going through treatment or after having a baby. Like,
I feel like in general, if someone just randomly knocked on my door, I'd be like, go away.
I'd hide.
Oh, I'm not in.
I would hide behind the curtain.
Yeah, I'm not joking.
Yeah. I'd be looking out like that. I remember someone knocked at the door and it was one of them people that like are asking about your prepaid power or your electricity or something. Yeah. And they knocked at the door and I got Mila and I dragged her in behind the curtain. I was like, get in here, get in here now.
Like, I look at the Ring doorbell sometimes and I'm like,
No, not today. Yeah.
So as well with chemo, I only know this because of like watching Carly's stories and stuff. There's a lot of like after effects of it as well.
Yeah.
Do you think a lot of people who don't know just assume that like chemo done, you're fresh, you're grand? Yeah. Like,
yeah. Like a lot of people, like I remember someone saying to me, are you delighted it's all over? And I'm like, what do you mean? And they were like you're, it's all like your treatment and all is over. Yeah. And I was like, it's not. I was like, I still have to go get an injection every 3 weeks. I still have to get the expander and implant, expander removed and an implant put in. I still have to get my other mastectomy on the other side. I still have a lot of things ahead of me.
Like,
But it's not even just that. It's all your head as well. Like my head at the moment is messed. Like I feel like I'm gone from being happy to being sad. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I know.
Oh, God. Like one day, like I can be, it's like I'm hiding behind the smile. Like sometimes.
That's so hard.
But yeah, no, it is. It's so hard. And like, there's so many people that are going through it and so many people that are only starting off as well that like, I'd just say to them, there's so many bad days that you're going to get, but know that the good days are definitely coming.
Yeah.
Like we had a great time in Disneyland last week.
Yeah.
Like for the three days, like, you know, and now that I'm back to normal, I'm just like, oh God. It's like a shit show again. Like, do you know what I mean? Oh God, turn off and out. If I'm not.
Do you find it? It's very up and down. Like one day you can feel.
It's definitely up and down. Like one day, like you're grand. There's not a bad on you. Like, and then the next day you're just like, oh my God, I just want to stay in bed all day.
Yeah.
No, I've never done that.
Yeah. I was gonna say, do you allow yourself to have those days?
No,
or?
Not really.
No.
Just because of Mila.
Yeah.
Like Mila's five. She'd remember it.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? So, like that, like some, like, I mean, my auntie lives around the corner from me and she has been amazing since Mila has been back in school. She texts me every morning saying, do you want me to come around and sit with the baby while you bring Mila to school? Or do you want me to come around and get Mila and I'll bring her to school?
Yeah.
And I've taken her up on them offers. Usually, like, I'd be like, no, it's grand. Like, you're fine. Yeah. But yeah, she's coming, taking Mila to school.
And speaking of Mila, how, if you don't mind me asking, like, how did you break all that news to her? And like,
I didn't really tell her.
Did you not?
No, like, okay. I didn't tell her that, like, Mammy had cancer or like, it was more that she was gonna know after I lost my hair, obviously.
Yeah.
But I did say to her, I was like, Mammy's gonna have hair like daddy soon. And she was just like, are you? Why? And I was like, because the medicine that I take makes me lose my hair.
Yeah.
I said, but it's okay. I said, because it's all going to grow back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was just like, oh, okay. And then, like, I think it was a Monday or a Tuesday night or something that I shaved my head and I completely forgot the next morning. You know, like lying in bed. Like, obviously, I remembered that I shaved it. Yeah. Or I forgot that Mila hadn't seen it. And she woke up and she was coming in. And I was like, Carl, Mila is coming in. I was like, she's going to see me here. And he was like, it's grand. Yeah, it's grand.
Yeah,
she came in, she didn't even notice.
Did she not?
She didn't even notice. Got up on the end of the bed and she was like, is Malin awake?
Say hello, kids.
I was like,
they're just so resilient.
Yeah, they just have that innocence about them that they don't care.
Yeah.
Like, they just love you for being you. Like,
But then when I showed her a picture, I remember her seeing a picture of me, Ma.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, look, Nanny Margaret has no hair as well. Like, and I was like, yeah, it's like me and Nanny Margaret are twins.
Yeah.
And she was like, did she have to take that medicine as well? And I was like, yeah. You know, it's just like them little things. And to be honest, the kids just kept me going through it all. They were great to have.
Really, you know.
He was so much strength.
Yeah.
And will they get tested now for this gene or how does it work? Yeah.
Yeah, they'll get tested.
Is there a certain age or like?
No, not really. Like, I'll tell her when she's older. Like, I don't think she needs to know until she's at least
18. Yeah.
Maybe 16.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, because I don't really have anyone in my family. Well, actually, I do. Like, my other cousin has the gene as well. And she's two girls. But I don't know if she's ever spoke to them about it. So,
yeah.
Be a thing to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Speak to them about it.
And have you joined any, like, cancer support groups or any of them? Or, like, talk to people who have experienced it as well.
Yeah.
There's and that, so many, that helped
like,
a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when I was first diagnosed and I was like, oh my God, I have breast cancer and I'm pregnant. What, like, who else has ever gone through this?
Yeah. Very unique. Yeah.
And then my sister Kim and Jenny, the two of them, went on to Instagram and they found so many. So many people, like there's one girl in particular, girl from Cork that I know, she went through the same as me when she was pregnant, and she gave me a lot of advice as well. But yeah, there's loads out there that have gone through or like that have found lumps when they're pregnant and like late pregnancy and they can't get them checked until the baby's out or whatever, you know.
It's not nice, but it's good to have
people
who you can talk to, because like obviously you have a great support network, but like no one's in your exact shoes and understands how you feel. So to have that is like,
is cool. And like that, like everybody feels differently as well. But all you have to do is like give them advice and help them on whatever they need help on. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
I must have just obviously been naive or oblivious to it. I just never thought of like getting breast cancer while you're pregnant.
Or any sickness. No. Yeah.
I never that's still a possibility that can happen.
And
did you ever consider having a mastectomy before your diagnosis, or like is that very extreme to think of to have to do that, like
I definitely did.
Did you?
But like that I wanted to finish off my family first. Like I remember the doctors always said to me, like the nurses and all that I'd go to get the breast checks, they'd always say, look, there's no, like you can go and meet plastic surgeons and all. She was like, but like the trigger age in your family is 47. My mum was 47 when she was diagnosed. She was the youngest out of all her sisters to be diagnosed. She was like, so like I wouldn't really get it done straight away until like you're at least 40.
Okay.
You know, then I was 31 when I was diagnosed.
So it's based off the person in your family, what age they got diagnosed at.
Well, that's like the youngest, I think, Yeah, the trigger age is what they call it. But to be honest, if anybody that I know had the BRCA gene and they wanted advice, I'd say get your family finished and have them straight away, or even get a double mastectomy first before you have your family.
Really? Yeah.
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 Yeah. Because I wouldn't want anybody to go through it.
No.
It's not nice.
And you had shared on Instagram the hashtag work to rest. No.
Oh.
I'm going to say it wrong.
Leave or leave.
Leave or leave. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where basically people who have cancer and go on maternity leave, their maternity leave is all taken up by
treatment.
Yeah. And then they actually don't get time to rest. So they're trying to change that now.
Yeah.
Which I think is really important.
I think it came in.
Did it?
I'm nearly sure it was brought in a few weeks ago.
So was it to give people going through treatment an actual maternity leave after treatment kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
So like my whole maternity leave is taken up by treatment.
Yeah.
I'm due back into work next month. And like that, but that won't be for me. Like I can't claim that back.
Can you not?
No.
I think it's
just going forward.
Right.
If someone is diagnosed with breast cancer while they're pregnant, I think they can delay their maternity leave.
Yeah.
So I think they'll go through their treatment then and then take their maternity leave.
Okay.
Get me?
Yeah. Oh, that'd be so, it should already be a thing.
Yeah. I'm nearly sure
from
that's
now,
being brought in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it should have been all along.
It should have really. Yeah. 100%.
Like that's not really resting at all.
Yeah.
You're going through treatment.
I think even people that have been diagnosed with cancer, with any type of cancer, like, it should be taken as sick leave, but it shouldn't actually be, you know, the way like in certain jobs, you only get a certain amount of sick leave days.
Yeah.
But some jobs, you don't get sick days.
Yeah.
I think with cancer, I think it just should be like
completely
taken off, leaving
it's not
it as
like
cancer
the flu,
leave.
Like it's completely different situation. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas I think all my sick days and work are gone.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And what advice would you have for anyone now maybe going through treatment, or who knows someone going through treatment as well, like how to be there for them?
As in like what advice would I give to a cancer
someone that has
been diagnosed?
Yeah, yeah.
Rest as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Cry. Ring somebody if you need to speak to anybody. Ring somebody. Because I felt like even when I was going through, I felt like I kind of held everything in and then went home and cried on my own.
Yeah,
you get me?
Yeah.
And it wasn't because I don't like crying in front of people, clearly don't. I feel like it was more so I didn't want to be putting anything on other people.
Yeah.
Because like,
is that how you felt? Like that you couldn't, like
I've sold the support around me.
Yeah, didn't
but I just didn't want to put anything on them.
Yeah.
Do you get me?
Yeah.
Like I didn't like even like with Carol, with my sisters, with my aunties, like I had put so much on them already, but like I didn't want them seeing how sad I actually was. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I feel like I didn't express it enough.
Yeah.
And I think anybody out there, I think express it as much as you can.
Yeah.
Show your emotions. Yeah. Like, yeah. Show how.
Because I'm sure they would have wanted you to tell them everything, but like, you just don't want to.
Yeah.
Show.
Yeah. And I think it was more so for Mila as well. Like, it's like some days Mila saw me crying and she'd be like, "Why are you crying, mummy?" And I was just like, "Oh, just something in my eye." You know, like, yeah, I know.
It's hard when it's a child though, as well, to explain. Like,
But I'd say, speak to, reach out to people, talk to them. Definitely go to counseling or therapy or whatever suits. And you're definitely going to get your bad days. And when you do, just focus on the ones that are coming, the good days.
Yeah. And then advice for people who know someone going through treatment and like how to be there for them, like what's, because I think sometimes people who mightn't be like close family or friends, like don't know what to say or like how to say, like what is the best way to go about being there?
It's mad because even now, like if one of my friends turned around and told me that they were going through like a cancer diagnosis, I wouldn't know what to say.
Yeah.
Honestly, I genuinely would not know what to say. Yeah.
I think it's the Irish in us. We're really bad with like,
With
comforting, I think.
Yeah. But I would say text them, make sure you're there for them day and night. Don't just show up at their door.
No.
Text them, even text a family member and see if they're all right and give them whatever advice you can give them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's really hard to know what to say to someone that has been diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah.
It really is. Like,
get
as much rest as you can and even like, it's really hard to know what to do for someone that has gone through cancer.
Yeah.
And next May then, when you, I forgot the name of the injections.
Herceptin.
When you finish them in May, what happens then? Like what?
There's no plan.
No.
I don't think I have to go on like long-term medication or anything like that because the chemo was preventative chemo. I don't think I have to go on anything else. Just kind of, I'm hoping that by then my other mastectomy will be done so I won't have to get that done. And then after that, then I'll just have to focus on getting my ovaries removed. Okay. But that won't be until at least 2026.
Okay.
Yeah. I need to give myself a break. Because I'm getting married.
You get married? When are you getting married?
Next October.
Oh, you both.
Yeah.
So exciting.
Hoping my hair will be a little bit long.
Definitely. I'll shoot down.
Yeah.
Ask Carly Maddie for some tips.
Sorry, the length of her hair.
Overnight.
I could cut hers off and put it on mine.
Honestly. Oh my God. Like, honestly.
She had really thick hair anyway.
I remember Carly when she was like 15 or 16 and she was like a disco dancer or like a teeny bopper doing all her disco dancing and her hair would be down to her knees. Yeah. And I just
she has enough hair for like 10 heads.
It's like a rope.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. Her hair is amazing.
Your hair will be like that next November.
Oh, but a bit. My hair was real thin anyway, so I'm just hoping that it grows back.
I never knew your hair was thin, but did you always have extensions?
You wouldn't know because I always had extensions.
Did you?
Yeah. Towards, like, I remember when I was pregnant at Mila, it was like it got real thick, and then after it kind of like, it was like here, like, I always have to put, brown spray in it. That it literally looked like I'd have a bald patch. No, I didn't, but like it was just so thin that it looked like I'd have a bald patch.
People say that during pregnancy, it grows and then it will just come out.
And then it just comes out.
Yeah. And like your hairline and everything.
Yeah. My hairline is shy anyway, like, but.
Oh, come here, it could come back different.
I have one of those little rollers, you know?
Oh, the
rollers,
little pin thing?
That men use on their beards. I got it and I'm literally doing it here and here and here and here. I'm doing it.
I feel like we're all for it.
On the eyebrows and I'll get them to grow back. Yeah.
You can now get like nipple tattoos and all, can't you? Have you seen them?
Yeah.
They look unreal.
Do they look good?
Like a real nipple. Yeah. Like, full on,
Now, I think certain ones can be dodgy, but my plastic surgeon, my auntie was actually telling me, like, my plastic surgeon can, like, create a nipple out of skin.
Wow.
So, like, you'll still have, like, a point if you don't wear a bra. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Just so they match or whatever.
Yeah. Well, that one will be gone anyway. So they're both going to be hopefully the same. And, so she was saying that she can create a nipple out of skin and then you could get the tattoo then over it.
The colour of it.
Now I'm not sure like
what way
she can do it because I haven't spoke to her about it yet, but my auntie was telling me that she can do it, so
fingers crossed. Yeah. It's all up from here.
Yeah.
He's gone.
And what are your plans now? So you're going back to work in October?
No.
You're not going back.
I'm due back.
You're due?
Back. Yeah. So that'll be on pause for I don't know how long. I'm actually going in tomorrow to talk to them. But
you come first of any like
job. Sure, I feel like I didn't even get time with the kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So definitely that'll be on pause for till at least probably next year, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like that, I have a wedding to pay for, so I have to go back.
Yeah.
And yeah, just back teaching and going on with life as usual.
Yeah. It's great. I'd say it's crazy looking back. You're going to be like, what the hell? How did that just happen in that blip? Like,
I know. So I think when I finished chemo, I kind of expected my hair to be back straight away. not to lose my eyebrows, not to lose my lashes. Yeah. You know, like, you have a thing in your head, like when you finish chemo, like it's going to be all finished. It's going to be all done.
Do you think you're like,
yeah, thanks. Like, honest God, I was counting down today to my last day of chemo. Mm-hmm. And it was then where it all hit me. Like, you know, like the week after that, it was just when I didn't go in for chemo the next week, I was like, oh, what am I doing? Like,
okay.
Yeah. That was like, your routine for so long. Yeah.
It wasn't even. It was like you were counting out days to your next chemo so you could get like, oh, I've done 8 chemos. Like, okay. I only have 3 left or whatever. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't have that anymore. Like, so I don't have like I can't see an end date yet until I get the date for my mastectomy on this side.
Yeah.
And obviously the ovaries as well, but like that can definitely wait until at least the end of next year.
Yeah. And the mastectomy, have they given you around like an estimate of a date?
No. No, when I was in last, where she was like, oh, I didn't realise you were getting married in October next year. And I was like, yeah, well.
Yeah, hello.
But it's not even that. I think it's more so for my head as well. Like,
of course.
If I didn't have my mastectomy done for my wedding next year, like, it would absolutely break me. But it would be more for my head. Like, because, like, I don't even get undressed in front of Carl or Anne.
Really?
Yeah, I can't. Like, I hate it. Yeah. Even though in the beginning I was like, Cara, look at my scar.
Yeah.
I was like, look how well it's healing. Like, but then when you're
actually in the midst of it,
and then when you have your baby and then you have your body and you're just looking at yourself in the mirror and you're like, oh my God, like I literally don't know what I look like, but I don't look like me.
And do you ever like, do you find you have like anxiety now if you feel something different in your body or like if you're feeling sick or something, do you think that like end up thinking the worst of stuff?
Yeah, like if I get a headache. Like, I'm like, all right, okay, I need to go to the hospital and get them. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Because my mom's spread into her spinal fluid, like, and was going up around her head.
Yeah.
I was just like, right, I need to, like, you know, like, you just, it's mad things you think. Like, even if I get a pain in my boob on this side, I'm like, oh, there we go.
Straight away.
I haven't had, like, I had a mammogram on the right side in the beginning, but, like, that they said that there was nothing there. But, you know, like, when I get my MRI in the next few weeks, I will be nervous for the results coming back.
Of course.
I know there's nothing there, but, well, I don't know, but, like, I'm confident that there's nothing there.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's still in the back of your mind.
You're always gonna talk. Like,
I think if anybody even has anybody in their family that had cancer or, like, they'd always be nervous. Like, even before I was diagnosed or before I even had kids around, if I got a headache, I'd be straight to the doctor.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, silly things.
Yeah. But, thinking the worst, like.
Yeah, because my mom's, her was spread into her spinal fluid and she was getting headaches.
Okay.
And they were putting it down to a migraine. Like, my mom couldn't get up out of the bed. She couldn't come out of the room with the light on or anything like that. And like that, the doctor just kept saying, oh, it's just a migraine. It's a migraine. This is after she had breast cancer. All in the same, like, 2 months. And they were like, yeah, it's just a migraine. And like that, they ended up doing lumbar puncture and it was in her spinal fluid. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's just like little things like that, you know, like, oh my God, I have a headache. Like, mad.
You're going to think the worst in case it is it is that, like, in the off chance.
John,
thank you so much for coming on.
No problem,
you're absolutely amazing. And I think it, especially being Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we need to be talking about and
absolutely
know how to check ourselves and your story is really, like, amazing and you're so strong, so
thanks so much for having me.
Thank you.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.
This is a paid advertisement from BetterHelp Therapy Online.
It's back to school season, and while I am more than happy not to be spending my day studying, I do miss learning new things and feeling like you're growing so much.
Yeah, I feel like as adults, we just never make the time to learn something new. Like, what was the last thing that you learned?
Oh, probably have to drive. Is that really bad?
Yeah, and think about how many years ago that would have been.
Yeah. I couldn't, like, even tell you anything else new I've learned, but I do want to reconnect with the sense of curiosity that I did have as a child.
That's where therapy can help. You know how much I am an advocate for therapy. It offers you a chance to have your back-to-school era, no matter what age you are, if you want to grow, learn new things, even about yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, definitely give BetterHelp a try.
Because it's entirely online, it's completely convenient, flexible, and it's suited to your schedule, which was definitely unlike school.
Yes. And all you have to do is to fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a therapist. And if you want, you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
With over 5,000 therapists available, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise.
Rediscover your curiosity with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/HMD today to get 10% off your first month.
That's betterhelp.com/HMD.